Si vuole pensa amigo, nero velo meno, io dormirò buona cuore soi. Si vuole pensa amigo, nero velo meno, e suena perché non vi soerra.
Well, shalom and welcome to the second hour of 2 hours of Jewish soul music. I'm your host, Charlie Bernhout. First, in the background, we hear the wonderful voice of the great Moshe Koussevitzky. Well, what are you doing January 19th? A week from today, Monday, at Lincoln Square Synagogue at 8 o'clock. I'll be giving my Yussel's World presentation, and I hope you can make it. As I have mentioned to you, the first part is a presentation of the development of sound recordings. You many are aware that I have two major hobbies. One is collecting old phonographs, and the other is, of course, Jewish music. For over 50 years, I've been collecting Victrolas and people have thrown away their old 78 records of Rosenblatt, Hirschman, Kvartin, and Caruso, and that's sort of how I backed into discovering cantoral music at the age of 41 in 1977. Yeah. Okay, that's the way it goes. Anyway, I bring an old RCA Victrola and play the original records, and those of you who have heard it, the comment has been almost universal that it's almost like the first time that I've ever really heard the sound, because when they take an old 78 and they digitize it and they electrify it and so forth, it wasn't meant to be played that way. It was meant to be played with a steel needle, a little steel needle that can only play maybe 4 or 5 times on an old Victrola. I also bring a little gramophone with a cylinder to show you the first record. And again, the discussion takes you through the development of sound, which sort of coincides or parallels with Yussel's story, his growth, if you will. He was born in 1882. Sound was first discovered in 1900, when he was 18 years old, and the role of the phonograph and of Victrola and of records played very, very strongly on Rosenblatt's great success. I also go a little bit into the history of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, so you understand Yussel's upbringing. And as I mentioned, the coincidence, I know the Lubavitchers say there is no such thing as a coincidence. The three coincidences, as far as Rosenblatt goes, in terms of my own personal life, is, first of all, the massive collection of old records that I got of Yussel. Every home had multiple records of Yussel, and when I get phone calls, people tell me that someone passed away, whatever, they have the old records, what to do, and they give them to me. Always, the number one cantor in terms of recordings has always been Rosenblatt. Then you have Kvartin and Hirschman and Sirota, and always, the Jewish home always had Caruso. And so the one coincidence was how the records played a role. The second is my father was born in Bukovina, and in the discussion of his life, Yussel's life, I show you that Yussel moved from the Ukraine to, the family moved there to Bukovina. And I guess the last coincidence is that in 1964, 63, when I went to Israel, I went on an old Italian liner called the Vulcania. And the Vulcania was the ship that Yussela took to Israel in 1933, and then he died there in 1933. Anyway, there's a great discussion about his life, and you know Lincoln Square Synagogue, and Yankee Lemmer, and Sherwood Goffin will also be there to sing a few selections, but I look forward to seeing you there if you want to see something. It's very, very interesting. Okay, so speaking of Yussela, and Julian, I know you'll enjoy this, and Paul, here's some of Yussela's classics. I could go on for days and days and days, so I just picked a few. Here's Hashem Moloch.
Yeah.
Well, I would like to point out to you that prior to 1925, all recordings were made acoustically, not electronically, but the performer stood in front of a huge horn and sang into the horn, and as the vibrations went down to a diaphragm and so forth, you think of it today, it was really very primitive, but it worked. And one of the reasons there are no symphonies or grand operas prior to 1925 is you couldn't record it, because there are, I have some photos of where they welded together two or three horns, and they would have a band perhaps playing, and but nothing grandiose. But 1925 and thereafter, that's when they came out with the speaker and the microphone and the amplifier. So the first thing, and I have pictures of the performer standing in front of these huge horns. That was number one. Number two, about the Vulcania, it was 1964, and just in case you're wondering, no, the Vulcania did not make it to Haifa. I took the Vulcania to Naples. I crossed over to Brindisi, took a ferry to Patras, and then ended up in Athens. And a couple of days later, I walked down to the docks in Piraeus, and I saw a little tanker with Hebrew writing on it, Ophir. And I walked up the gangplank, and I asked to speak to the captain, whoever it was, and I said, "When are you going back to Israel from here?" He said, "Yes." And could I come with you? He said, "Be here tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock." And that's how I got to Israel. I took this little tanker. I don't even remember how many days it was. And it was such a beautiful way to have the first experience getting to Israel. Adjusting and being on an Israeli tanker with everybody speaking Hebrew and English and whatever, and slowly going through the time changes, if you will, very gradually, rather than, you know, just getting on the plane and boom, you know, you're there in 10 or 12 hours and the disorientation. Anyway, it was such a great way to get to Israel the first time. Anyway, so yes, if you were wondering, the Vulcania did not go to Haifa in 64, but it did go in 1933 when it first took the great Yesla. Let's hear Elokai Neshama, Yesla Rosenblatt.
Atunefaktu abi,
Just as a point of information, I have given this presentation at the Fifth Avenue Synagogue, at the Hamptons Synagogue, at OE in Highland Park, New Jersey. Gave it to the meeting of the Cantorial Council of America. Last Pesach, I gave it at a Passover gathering at the Ocean Place Hotel in Long Branch, New Jersey. This past Motzi Shabbos, I gave it at the Chabad of the Upper East Side. And as I told you, the 19th, Monday, I'll be at Lincoln Square Synagogue in Manhattan. And I'm finalizing February 8th at OZ. That was Yossel's Shul, and that's on the Upper West Side. I'll send you more details about that as that gets firmed up. So, yeah, if you are interested in having me give the presentation at your shul or whatever Jewish organization you're involved with that that may be interested in such a subject, let me know. It's a PowerPoint presentation. It's got films. You see Yossela in the jazz singer, yes. Not in the lead role, you know. He was offered $100,000, but turned that down, even though he was in bankruptcy. I mean, this was, you know, it's a very fascinating story about his meteoric rise and his downfall, which I get into in great detail. Let's go back to Yossela, and this is Uvnucho Yomar.
Oh,
Okay, now you do know that he was such a rarity that he composed most of or all of his songs, and he had over 550 compositions, from what I understand. Now, this next selection is interesting in that when Yesler was in Israel in 1933, he met Bialik. And when Bialik heard this next selection, he proposed that this should be the national anthem of Palestine, of whatever Jewish state there was at the time. And, of course, you know what this is. This is Shir HaMa'alos.
Oh,
Okay. So I hope you've enjoyed listening to the great Yesala, and I look forward to seeing you on the 19th, if not on the 8th, and if not, you arrange. I'll come to you. Yeah. And I'll travel. Yes. Have horn, will travel. That's the horn for the old Victrola. Okay. David Kusevitsky. Yeah. Let's hear a couple of classics. This is V'chol HaChaim. David Kusevitsky.
Oh,
David Kusevitsky, I always enjoyed hearing the debates. Those fortunate people who lived in Borough Park, and they would go to hear hear Moshe, and then they would go to hear David, or they go to hear David, and if they were done earlier, they went over to hear Moshe, and the arguments were who was the greater. Let's just say they were both great. How do you measure all this? Let's hear David Kusevitsky with V'Yerushalayim Ircha.
Oh,
As you can tell, that was recorded live at a concert, and it was a great David Kusevitsky. Let's hear Yanky Lemmer. Yanky is the chazan at the Lincoln Square Synagogue. He will be there with Sherwood Goffin this coming Monday, the 19th, during my presentation. They will present something. I still have to discuss exactly what, but I suspect it will be something related to Yesala. Let's hear this earlier recording of Yanky. This is Habait. Whoops. Technical problem. We'll get right to it. It happens. Have to get to, let's see. Habait. Here it is.
Habait, habait. Mishomayim ureh, habayit, habayit, mishomayim ureh. Ki hoyim elai, Ki hoyinu lai
He will be there together with Sherwood Goffin next Monday, the 19th. Let's close with a Tefillah L'Shalom HaMedina. This is a prayer for peace for the State of Israel and the late Ari Braun.
avinu sheba shamayim sur Yisrael ve'golo barech et medinat Yisrael reshit smichat geyolateinu hagei Sale asukat shelomecha Chazek, chazek Et yedei megine yeretz kol sheino V'yanechilem elokeinu Yeshua Vateret nitzachon Teatrem benatat ha-shalom Baretz Vesimechat olam le-yoshrea Again, Aleya, Beverat Chazdecha, Ufros Aleya, Sukat Shelomecha. Chazek, Chazek, Et Yedei Megine Yeretz Koresheinu, Ve'yanechile Yeshua Vateret nitzachonet Eatrem Benatat ha-shalom Baretz Vesimechat olam Ele yosheveya Amin
Ari Brown, and this is Charlie Bernhow, hoping that you enjoy these 2 hours of Jewish soul music. Hope to see you on Monday the 19th at Lincoln Square Synagogue. If you can't make it, we'll be other times, but thanks a lot for joining with me. cbjmusic@aol.com, that's the way to reach me, cbjmusic@aol.com. Shalom, everyone.